As a Christian, and within your understanding of the Bible, let me ask you about a couple of words. How do you define natural and supernatural? How do you define those words? Within the aspect of being a Christian, with being that person who understands that, yes, I need to read the Bible, but I don't know that I understand everything in it, what's natural and what's supernatural? Well, certainly our culture is very interested in the supernatural. You see it all over. I think that there's a fascination that comes with it for a number of different reasons. I think for some it's just curiosity. I mean, it's so different than what we're used to living, the supernatural, when we say that word. What does that conjure up in your mind? I think for other people it's an attempt to explore something beyond their own lives, maybe even your what you perceive as a mundane life. I get up, I go to work, I come home, I eat food in between, I do some stuff, that's it. Well, supernatural brings an image of things that are much more beyond that. Maybe even to bring some excitement into what otherwise would be just common every day. And yet, what we need to understand is that in our world's view of what is supernatural and what that is comprised of, there is, I think, very little understanding of the very legitimate evil that is being promoted. Now, don't get your mind set on that yet, because I've got much more to tell you, because supernatural in and of itself is not evil. I'll explain that in just a minute. Let me give you, though, a quick example of what I'm talking about our culture and our world. I did a search online of supernatural-themed television shows. That was it. That's all I typed in. More things came up that I had, A, time, and B, actually interest in reading. But there was a bunch there. I didn't even get to the end of the list. But what I want you to hear is I just selected five of them, and I want you to hear the synopsis of what it says the show's about. You follow me on this? You don't go into the whole thing, but it just gives you like two sentences or one sentence. This is what the show is about. These are shows that are no longer on the air, some of them very recent, but many of them are still playing. So here's the first one. A young woman destined to slay vampires, demons, and other infernal creatures deals with her life fighting evil with the help of her friends. That's the synopsis of the show. Here's the second one. Catch the name of the main character. Lucifer Morningstar has decided he's had enough of being the dutiful servant in hell and decides to spend some time on Earth to better understand humanity. He settles in Los Angeles, the city of angels. Now, I got to think the writer of that thought he was being very clever. City of angels, and that's where Lucifer wants to be? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure he's in the exact right city of where he needs to be, at least for right now. Here's another one. Two brothers follow in their father's footsteps as hunters, fighting evil supernatural beings of many kinds, including monsters, demons, and gods that walk the earth. That's the show. Two more. Now, they're not all very, you know, you can tell they thought, well, you know, maybe we need to lighten this up a little bit. So here's one of the shows. Three 20-somethings share a house and try to live a normal life despite being a ghost, a vampire, and a werewolf. It's a funny show. Now this one, this last one, I've read this several times, and every time I still go, wait, what? Listen, after a supernatural event at his church, a preacher enlists the help of a vampire and his ex to find God. What? You kidding me? Television show. This stuff is being pumped out at a prodigious rate. And most of the storylines, if you check them out, all revolve around young people because that's the target audience. That's who they're going after. It's made to look like it's sexy and romantic and exciting and adventurous and fun. That's what all of these shows are made to look like at some point. But my friends, can I assure you that that side of the supernatural has nothing to do with excitement, romance, and fun. You think I'm overstating this? Go to Barnes & Noble, walk up to the young people section, and look at the titles. 90% of them are all about the supernatural. All about the supernatural. But here's what you have to understand as a Christian this morning. God is the creator of the natural. I think we would all agree on that. God created the natural. But because of that fact, God is not bound by the laws of the natural, meaning he is supernatural. So before you start thinking that everything supernatural is evil and wrong, let me make sure you've got a good starting point. God is supernatural.
Amen.
Because he's not bound by the laws of nature. And see, that's what I want to talk about this morning, just a little bit in preparation for some things that we're going to begin to study over the next several months. What's the difference between natural and supernatural? And how should I be dealing with that as a Christian? You see, the world of the supernatural that God is a part of is everything that is good, it's right, it's filled with his light when it's within the realm of the Father. But when it's not, watch now. It becomes perverted, and what you are seeing is all that Hollywood is promoting. That's where that comes from. Make no mistake, my friends, Hollywood belongs to Satan right now, every bit of it, every bit of it. And I don't believe we have any true idea about what's going on in that world of the privileged and the stars and all of that nonsense. Every time I look at those people, when they start talking about things of the world, I want to go, I have no interest in hearing anything you have to say. You are a person of make-believe. That's what your life is. It's make-believe. And yet, that is who our culture embraces. That's who we promote. That's who we say are the ones that need to be giving leadership to our young people. Those are the ones that we want our kids to emulate. And yet they come from a world that is completely contrary to the things of God. But my friends, the supernatural should not be feared or squelched in our minds and our hearts. And this morning, I want you to understand why. What is natural? Let's just define that first and foremost. What is, when we talk about the natural, what is it? Well, very simple. It's primarily those things that we can comprehend information in respect to our five senses. So what you can hear, see, smell, taste, and touch, that's natural. It goes beyond that, in that the natural is also those things that we can comprehend. In other words, your brain box has to be able to get around it, understand it, make sense of it. And many people would say that to quantify those things means that there must be some measure of explanation that involves science. Science is what tells us what is natural. But the problem with utilizing science and science alone in those things is that science is not permanent, not all of it, and certainly not exact. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, it was just a few hundred years ago that everyone knew and believed that the earth was flat. They knew it. It wasn't that long ago that modern medicine replaced the belief that it was evil elves, black bile, and astral influences that made us feel the way that we felt. They put leeches on you so you could bleed and get all that ugly stuff out of you. That's where that came from. It wasn't even until the late 1800s that doctors began to understand the correlation between bacteria, germs, and infections. Had no idea of that. But prior to that, that was the world. That was what science had said. Now listen, I certainly believe and support science. Absolutely. Science helps us to be able. There are things that God's enabled people to do. But my problem is when we are told that science is the end of all things. It's the be-all and end-all. There's nothing beyond that. That's not true. That is not true. And as a believer, I pray that you are coming to the place in your life where you're understanding God can do things beyond what scientists or even our own minds can understand. It was the mid-1800s that William Thomson was alive. He was a brilliant mathematical physicist, born in Ireland, a British citizen. He was called the first Baron Kelvin. No idea, Vance, what that means, but I'd like a shirt that says that. I'm the first Baron Kelvin. It's a goal for me in my life. I want to achieve that someday. He dealt in the realms of things like temperature, earth sciences. He dealt in movement and gravity and all those kinds of things. And he even developed terms that we still use today. He was the one that talked about and determined things like absolute zero and kinetic energy and all those kinds of things. That was this guy. Brilliant. He stated in 1896 that through undisputed scientific fact and proof, heavier-than-air objects would never be able to be artificially suspended above the ground except through flotation, like in a balloon. 1896. 7 years later in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, Orville and Wilbur Wright flew their plane. But science can't do it. You can't. Evolutionists, they attempt, obviously, to bridge that evolution gap. Because evolutionists are completely opposed to the things of creation, which we believe as Christians. But there's proof, they say. Absolute scientific proof of this. Absolutely sure, 100%. In 1922, I love the story. In 1922, a great proclamation was made throughout all of the scientific community. It turned science on its ear, and they were ecstatic. Because it was heralded that they had discovered without any question whatsoever that there was a link between primates and man. This was a higher level of primate that they had found. It was the first one ever in North America. In Nebraska, they found it. And the scientist that promoted this was a man by the name of Henry Fairfield Osborne. Now, this was not some guy in his basement. Right? This was not some guy that just kind of, well, you know, hey, I kind of think this way. This guy was revered around the world. He was a Princeton graduate. He was an American paleontologist and geologist. I mean, this guy, he was the president of the American Museum of Natural History. And all of his guys got together because a farmer on a piece of land in Nebraska found a tooth. And they said, this is the proof. This is it. This shows, without a shadow of a doubt, that man evolved from apes because we've got the guy in between. We'll add him to the others. And so they took tours and they built a model of what this thing would look like and they built charts and graphs. They changed the evolutionary scale. Lectures all around. We found it. Here it is. There was only one problem with this. And that was the simple fact that the tooth that they had belonged to an extinct species of pig. Whoops. But it took them 5 years to retract the story. It took them 5 years before they'd be willing to admit that they were wrong. Now, did they do that on purpose? I hope not. I don't think so. That's not what I'm suggesting. And again, I believe in science. I believe in the beauty of God's creation, and there's exactness, there's preciseness to all of it. And God has given us minds to be able to understand that, but it is not the end of knowledge. God is beyond that. Science continues to explain things that we cannot grasp. And they say it's solid, it's trustworthy, and I'll tell you, by and large, it is. But when it comes against the Word of God, my friends, I believe what I read here. This is my all in all. Science changes. We discover new things. That's all part of it. But don't tell me that that is the way that it is without any question. This is the way. This book has been proven time and time again, the Word of God, to be true, unchanging. As a matter of fact, what's really been a hard thing for the scientific community is that the more they study, the more they realize it's proving this to be correct over and over and over. You see, the natural is what the vast majority of people would accept as common or experiential knowledge. All very important. So that's the natural. God created it. It was good and perfect in the beginning. Sin came in and it got twisted and it got perverted. But now, what is supernatural? What does that mean? Well, very simply, it's anything that operates outside of what is commonly accepted. Something that you can't explain. Something that doesn't make any sense to me. I saw it. People said this, but that doesn't fit. I mean, the laws of this and the laws of that don't allow that to be able to happen. So it can't be natural. It has to be supernatural. But see, Jesus, my friends, operated in the supernatural his entire life. Amen. Jesus did. God had supernatural events taking place through all the beginning of time. And what Jesus did, we qualify those things and we explain it by calling them what? What did Jesus perform? Miracles. Supernatural. Supernatural things. In his 3 years of ministry on earth, Jesus performed 36 miracles that were recorded for us. Now, I believe Jesus performed a lot more than that, but they just weren't recorded. 36, though. The first one's in John, the second chapter. You remember this story, the wedding at Canaan. And Mary and Jesus and probably a bunch of his brothers and sisters and some friends were there. And, of course, they run out of the wine. And Mary comes to Jesus and goes, "Hate to bother you." This is probably not what she said, but this is what I think it sounded like. "Hate to bother you, but we got nothing to drink." And so remember what Jesus said. He said, "Why are you bringing this to me? It's not my time." And yet in his compassion, Jesus turned the water into wine. That was the first miracle. The last one that's recorded is also in the book of John. It's in the 21st chapter. After the resurrection, Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee, and the fishermen had gone back out to fish that were his disciples. And you remember what happened? They couldn't catch anything. Jesus said, "Let your nets down on the other side." They did, and boom, they had so many, it nearly sunk the boat. That was the last miracle that Jesus performed. There's only one miracle that's listed in all of the Gospels. That's the feeding of the 5,000. But Jesus was constantly operating in the supernatural. Amen. And I think it's very important for us to know this morning, my friends, to ask the questions that I think many times we do. Should we be concerned or afraid of the supernatural? And the answer to that is no. The problem is that the only thing supernatural you normally see is the garbage on television and in the movies. And little girls' heads are spinning around. And there's all kinds of people getting torn up and hurt. Demons are attacking and all these kinds of things. Say, "Pastor Dave, do you believe in angels and demons?" Of course I do. Say, "Well, how do you know?" Well, first and foremost, it's in the Scripture. The Bible says that they're real. I've had a couple of encounters in my life that I believe were very demonic. And yet God protected me. God saved me from that. I had no reason to be afraid. I had the power of God with me. You say, "Well, where do demons even come from?" Well, if you remember, Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven. Matter of fact, I believe he was one of the three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Why the third one? Well, because the number of God is three. And everything done by God in perfection is in three. So he would have had, I believe, three archangels. But Lucifer allowed pride to come into his life, and he said, "I'm going to be just like the Most High." And you remember, he got cast out. And how powerful was he? A third of the angels went with him. A third of them. Those are the demons. Now, you have to understand that in the supernatural realm, watch this, nothing takes place without God's permission. Nothing. You say, "Pastor Dave, there's some ugly things that I've seen happening. Why would God allow that to happen?" I don't know. I don't know God's will. All I know is that I trust him. And I know that when we as his children are walking in difficult situations, that he'll guard us, he'll protect us. But it doesn't mean that the supernatural is something that I should avoid. Because when you pray, I pray that you're praying for the supernatural to take place. Amen. I pray that you pray for people to be healed. And yes, God uses doctors and he uses medicine. We should never stay away from those things, somehow thinking that that then means I have no faith. I don't think that's right. But God can do what he wants. Amen. God can go over and above what doctors say. Amen. Still do what the doctor says, but God goes beyond that. Why? Because God is not contained by the natural. Amen. He's supernatural. Now, see, you got really nervous. I didn't take my watch off. Some of you were going, "Oh my gosh, his watch isn't off." Okay, here we go. Now you can relax. All right. So we ask the question, should we be concerned or afraid of the supernatural? No. Second one, how can we tell what is from God and what is not? The answer to that is very simple. Anything that goes against God's word cannot be from God, not be from Him. And can I tell you this morning that those people that get pulled into things like palm readings, astral things, all that kind of thing that you see, and there are people that say, Katarina and I had an experience with this, these people that were doing a seance. Is that what it was? I guess they were doing seances and that kind of thing. But they kept saying, well, no, we don't have to worry about it. We've got this spiritual person here with us. It's okay. We're okay. No. The Bible says you don't do with that kind of thing. You don't try to talk to the dead. None of those things. When you go and you have a palm read, that is not power of God that person is saying things to you. It's the power of Satan. See, those things we have to understand. There is right and there is wrong. There's no in-between with that. And there have been a lot of Christians that have gotten pulled into the occult things innocently in their own minds, but they did it out of ignorance, believing that somehow it wouldn't affect them. It's good what they're saying. There's only two places that the power can come from, my friends. It's either of God or if it's of Satan. You say, Pastor Dave, aren't you being kind of heavy-handed with this? Well, you need to understand the time we're living in. And what Satan wants to do, and that he loves to do almost as much as anything else, is loves to take somebody that comes to church, reads his Bible and prays, and gets them pulled off into something like that. You've got to be aware. You've got to be strong with that. Okay, let me go forward here so I can get finished. We must always remember that everything starts with God. Everything. Everything begins with Him. The natural, the supernatural, it all begins with Him. It's all right. It's perfect. When Satan came in, he then brings the counterfeit of those things. We've talked about counterfeit in here before. He loves nothing more than the confused Christians, and that's the first place that he's going to go after is your mind. And this is why I'm always encouraging you to keep the things of God's word in your mind. Stay in prayer before him. Listen to teachers, people that you trust that teach the Bible. Put those things in your mind. And stay away from the things that aren't teaching you, though. Stay away from those things that are pulling you in a different direction. Everything that God does is right. And so as I said earlier now, when Satan comes into the situation, he always wants to bring something that's perverted, and he always attacks the mind first. Because here's the thing, church, it's important for us to understand. Once we perceive something that we think is impossible, here's the natural and the unnatural. Once I think something's impossible, I'll never go beyond that point. I'll never go beyond that point. If I get it up in my mind, that can't happen, that's it. I'll never go beyond it. But do you know what's beyond that point, my friends? That's faith. That's where faith is. It's beyond your understanding. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of those things that we cannot see. That's what faith is. But see, if we only live within the natural, if we only are willing to hold on to those things that we can touch and that we can see and feel and smell and hear and comprehend, we never walk into those things of God that want us to go beyond our natural selves, to go beyond who we are. And that's why in times like this, I'm not sitting around wringing my hands in fear of what's going on in this country. Am I concerned? Of course I am. Am I praying? You better believe I am. But I'm not going to let it take my life and shut me down. Because I have more faith in Him than I do with the things that I see. Because He's above. He's beyond all of that. Matthew 17:20 says this. It says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Now look that up sometime if you want to know how small a mustard seed is. Look that up. Small as a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, move over there, and it will go. Because nothing will be impossible for you. Now I want you to understand something. If you don't remember anything else I say all morning, remember this. The reason that all we need is the faith as small as a mustard seed is because our faith then comes in contact with the great and awesome power of Almighty God. That's how those things happen. It's not because of your faith, it's because of your faith in Him. That's what changes things. That's what makes my life different. I didn't say I'm better than you, but I want to be different than what the world is. My faith, small as a mustard seed, comes in contact with the awesome and great power of God. And that's what it is that brings me to the place of saying, Father, I trust you. My confidence is in you. It's not in me. It's not in my mind. It's not in my emotions. It's not in my heart. It's not in my abilities. It's not in the things that I'm good at. My trust and my hope and my faith is in you. A couple more things and then I'm done. Clement of Alexandria is considered one of the earliest church fathers. Clement, he was a Greek Christian theologian, said this. If you're taking notes, write these words down. It's only five of them. Faith is a voluntary anticipation. I like that. Think about that. Faith is a voluntary anticipation. I'm not anticipating because I know what's coming. I'm not anticipating because I have the answers. I'm volunteering my anticipation because of him, because I know who he is. I know how much he loves me. I know that he never wants anything for me but to better things in me. Now, that doesn't mean the road's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have troubles here and there, walk through some difficult times, but that doesn't change who he is. You don't need to be afraid of the supernatural. Never. Because I've been in some churches where I wasn't quite sure what was going on. I saw some people doing some things. I go, man, I don't know what's happening here. And, you know, unfortunately, we in the church, we've shot ourselves too many times about this. Because there have been lots of instances where there were fake things going on. You know what I'm talking about. Faith healers that have been proven to be frauds. Dear God, forgive us. But they do these things, and they make these sensational things in order to be able to sell their books, in order to sell tapes, in order for people to come, in order to get a big offering and all those kinds of things. And what they're doing is that they're robbing the glory that can only be given to God. My friends, I can promise you something in Remnant Life. Anything that happens here, it will not be false. Amen. As far as what I can help. Now, we need to pray. We need to be strong. I'm going to be asking God for miracles in this church. I have been, and we've seen some. They may not be grand. They may not be these kind that you go, oh, my gosh, the guy walked in. He was in a wheelchair. Now he's not anymore. That's one type of miracle. But, you know, there are also those miracles of lives that are changed. There are miracles of people that would have responded this way 10 years ago to something. Now it's completely different for them because of God. There are miracles that take place when relationships are healed that we thought were irrevocably broken. And there are miracles when there is a peace that is in my life that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I never would have been able to expect that. And that's not because of us. That's because of him. God operates in the supernatural, and I believe he wants his church to. The Bible tells us that miracles will take place and they're going to continue to happen. But it isn't going to necessarily be for the believer. Those miracles are going to be for people that don't believe. And they come in and they say, wait a minute, we heard something's going on here. What's happening? And then what's our responsibility? Very simple. We give all the glory to God. Give all the glory to him. All the great revivals that began through the years, many of them began with miracle healings. And people just come and go, man, we heard something was going on here and it don't make any sense to us. See, that's how God operates. God operates outside of what we can understand. I don't want you to be afraid when God's doing something powerful and supernatural. I do want you to use wisdom when it's the things of the world. If you get off on those shows about the supernatural and all that, I want to really caution you about that because it opens the gate for the enemy to get into your heart and get into your mind. You say, Pastor Dave, come on, man. It's make-believe. You know, it's nothing. No, it is something. Because Satan is crafty. He's clever. He's not creative. He doesn't make anything, but he can sure take what's there and find a way to make it sound pleasing, to make it interesting, to make it fun, to kind of pique your interest. And in reality, what he's doing is he's just working his way in. Be careful, my friends. God created the natural, and God is in the supernatural. But so's the enemy, at least right now. And that's why we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. If you ever have any questions about that, never hesitate to call me. Call Katarina. Call one of our church leaders. You get their names there right on the website. If you've got a question, ask. It's too important. We are in a time right now where the church has got to be coming together stronger than ever. We are at a time when churches can no longer afford to be divided. That's why I love my brothers and sisters up at Fairview, because they have been so open and just so welcoming and so embracing. They didn't have to do this. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of churches that would never do this. Have another church on our property? What are you, nuts? Wasn't even a thought for them. They saw a need. They said, here you go. Why? Because we are together in the kingdom. We're working together for the glory of God, and it should never allow those things to separate us. So be encouraged. God is all around us in everything that happens. He's in the natural, the perfection of his world, but he's also in the supernatural. And it's a realm that I believe that he wants his children walking in more and more, because it requires a faith that causes us to have to rise up and say, God, I can't do this. I don't understand it, but I believe in you. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you, God, that you are present in all things. I thank you, Father, for your love for us, and I do pray, God, you would protect us, protect our minds. Give us a discernment to be able to determine what is of you and what is of the world. And Father, I believe that as a Christian, we have that within us at all times. The Holy Spirit will rise up. There'll be a check. There'll be an uneasy feeling. There'll be something that I just can't put my finger on. Father, give us the wisdom. Give us the strength to be able to turn and walk away from those things. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody here, anybody listening to this, that has gotten involved in those kinds of things, those people, God, that may have gone to fortune tellers, those that dabble with things like Ouija board and seances and all of these kinds of things, Father, I curse those things in the name of Jesus and pray, God, that they would be broken off their life. Any door that was open for the enemy to come, I pray that it would be closed in Jesus' name. And in the place of that, that you would give us a greater hunger for the things of you, to read our word, to seek you out, Father, to want to learn everything that we can about what it means to be a man, a woman, a young person filled with your Spirit. So, Father, I thank you. I pray your blessing over each and every one of my brothers and sisters as we leave this place. May every opportunity that you give us, may we embrace that to demonstrate, to show, to speak who you are in our lives, giving you all the glory. It's in Jesus' matchless name we pray these things together. Amen.